comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, that's a guarantee. I'm here because it matters. You're here because it matters, and you matter, and I'm glad you're here. Well, the K-Files e-zine subscription page is back up and working, as well as the unsubscription page. It's all working again. And that's good news. I'm glad it's all back up.
You're not interested in this. But with the unsubscriptions, we do have a few from time to time, but most people stay with us forever. But I've had to handle those manually. Because each one individually, manually, because the unsubscription page has not worked for some time. But after this hack attack, we got everything fixed. And so we've got that back up for you. So if you're not subscribed to the Kevin Smith Show's e-zine, it's called the K-Files e-zine. If you're not subscribed, why not? It's free, and that's where all the big news is. That's where you find out the inside information about what is happening here at the show and what is coming up, as well as links to great videos and interesting sites and articles and stories. And so it's free. It's absolutely free. There are no strings attached, and there's no reason why you should be in the dark. Another thing that we do here at the Kevin Smith Show now, it's pretty new and it's getting pretty good reviews, is I'm doing a little vlog daily, little video blog, and give you a little insight as to what's coming for the night show and upcoming news as well. So always check that out. It's on our website, kevinsmithshow.com. One of the things that you will find in today's vlog is information about something really neat that's coming up. Jose Escamilla, who is producing the movie Luna, we talked about it the other night, remember? Well, on November the 21st, he has offered to come in and do a video chat with us. You'll see him live on the screen. You'll be able to, we'll have the chat feature enabled with the video, so you will be able to submit questions to him, or you can call in and talk to him, either way. And he is going to share with us a few minutes, not just a few seconds like those trailers, but a few minutes of this movie, Luna, that he's working, is still in production. He's working on it now. So you would be the first audience to see those rather amazing minutes. And you remember what it is. It's high definition color photographs and videos from the moon showing real anomalies. And a few of them are in the trailers. You can go to YouTube and type in Escamilla Luna, and you can watch the trailers. But you have to be a member to get in on that. It'll be in the members area. Join. Why not? It's 23 cents a day. Hey, that's less than a cup of coffee, even homemade coffee. We'll be back right after this. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills. Jerry is well known to you as an explorer and TV producer. Some of you know of other things that Jerry is involved in, and he is indeed a multifaceted individual. He was my guest last Friday evening, joining us live from Peru, and it's a little bit unusual to have a guest on again so quickly. But he's back in the USA, and he joins us this evening to talk with us about some rather amazing new information about a very mysterious ancient site that he discussed with us last year. Some of you will remember that show, and there is, I think, breaking news information about this site. Jerry, welcome back.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you very much for having me back. I always enjoy being here and speaking with you and your listeners.
Well, first, Jerry, take us back to this ancient site. Where is it? What is it? Describe it for us.
Well, what we have is, of course, everyone's familiar with the Nazca Lines. The Nazca Lines, that would be south of Lima, on a desert where it hasn't rained in recorded history. And these lines have been very carefully placed on this desert, and of course the desert patina is after centuries, it's quite brown. And you move one of the stones on the surface of this desert, and underneath you have brilliant white sand. So at some point in time in the last 1,000 years or so, someone went through and moved stones and actually created this this elaborate series of symbols and pictures on the desert floor. What most people don't realize is that before you get to Nazca, you cross a different desert called Palpa, spelled P-A-L-P-A. And there are symbols and geoglyphs on this desert as well, and these are actually much, much older than those at Nazca. In many instances, you can see where there have been geoglyphs that have been placed, mountaintops that have been shaved off, things that just don't make any sense, long, triangular shapes and long lines, radiating out in many different directions. And then at some point past the original construction, someone else, some other culture came in and made their own design there and kind of messed up the original design, but they left their own unique design there as well. What we have been doing the past many years is to take a look at all these really strange areas. Kathy, my wife, is really involved into researching satellite photography and using Google Earth, which is just about as good as you can get these days. It certainly is good because it's a lot cheaper. And she goes in 10-meter squares, which isn't very large when you consider how big the area is. And she's looking for some evidence of an ancient civilization, walls, buildings, old constructs of some sort. And it was during one of these times that she stumbled upon this fantastic geoglyph that is on the Palpa Desert, and it is really kind of hard to describe. It has circles and lines, and it has a very deliberate look to it, and it's absolutely different than anything else that we've seen on the Palpa Desert or in Nazca. It's just absolutely unique. So we decided that we needed to find out what the story was behind it. About, I would say, 80 miles north of there is a place called Humai. And about the time we were going to go and check out this this amazing geoglyph, there were emails circulating around on the web about these series of strange holes that just started in the valley and just went right up the side of a mountain. And a lot of people were theorizing what that might be. So we decided to cover both of those, and we did. We turned it into a video, and the video is on Expeditions TV. It's called Secrets of the Sand. There's a lot of strange stuff in this area. And it's kind of hard to say one thing is stranger than another, but that geoglyph, you know, when you take a look at ancient artwork or artifacts, these things are, of course, fascinating. But when you find a very deliberate two-dimensional figure that's only visible when you're maybe 2,000 feet above it, and it has very specific and very high order of mathematics, then, you know, that becomes quite sensational. And we decided we had to get there and see this for ourselves to see what it was that she had seen on the you know, on the photographs and on Google Earth. So we went to check it out.
All right, now, while you were talking, I put a picture, an aerial photograph up of these lines, and they're very faint in the photograph, but you can see them. You can see there's a series of circles. There are triangular angles. There are boxes, rectangles.
And there are intersecting lines that connect one thing to the other. Actually, what you're looking at there, on the left side of the screen is a small circle. In the center, you have what looks like a square, but it has a series of circles in it, and then it has a series of squares. And then on the right side of the screen, which is it's hardly perceptible, you have another circle, and the center of all these things, of the two small circles, for example, on either side, there is an intersecting line, and then it forms a triangle that meets up near about two-thirds of the way up, three-quarters of the way up through that square-looking area there.
Yeah, and if you let your eyes sort of just gaze at that for a moment, it almost appears like an architect's drawing of a pyramid with the peak happening above that square.
Right.
Where those lines meet, you said about mm-hmm. two-thirds of the way up in the square? Well, where they all intersect would be the point of the pyramid sticking upward.
Right. Now, the fantastic thing about this, I mean, if the high order of math, and we did determine there's a high order of math in this, but beyond that being fascinating, when you consider that this is on a remote plateau, it's not overly high. I mean, we're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 feet above sea level, but it's irregular. If you take a look at this picture closely, you can see that the surface is a bit of a tilt, and it's slightly irregular. And when you're standing there looking at it, you can't really make out what you're looking at. But when you get up above it, like in this picture here, it becomes more and more two-dimensional. And when you get directly above it and shoot a picture straight down, you can't tell that the surface is irregular at all. Everything has been compensated within the design of this in order to represent a true two-dimensional or flat-looking image.
Jerry, just an observation, an opinion about the general mm-hmm. appearance of this area. If I didn't know that that's on Earth, I would assume it's on some other planet. I mean, really doesn't look like Earth.
No, and when you're there, you really feel like you're not on the Earth at all. You can see how it's kind of a darkish color.
Mm-hmm.
Well, And the reason is because of that desert patina. When you're walking across, of course, I didn't walk across the design. That would be the wrong thing to do. But when we're walking on the periphery of it, it's like you're walking on crackers. You know, when you, if you can imagine a great big sheet that's a cracker and you're walking and it's crunching.
Mm-hmm.
The desert patina is just, you know, maybe an eighth of an inch thick. It's a crust. And walking across it, it's crunching, just like you're walking on like a frozen layer of ice on snow. And beneath that, white sand. Standing on this little plateau, it, you know, it didn't, you didn't see anything remarkable one direction or another. But it was just unbelievably hot. It reminded me of what it must, well, it made me think what it must be like to stand underneath of a microwave emitter or something, because it was just absolutely blistering hot. For someone to have gone up there and that carefully made this large design, there was no room for error, and of course there's no water, there's no food, there's nothing. It's just, you know, an absolute desolate place.
All right, now you made mention of the Nazca lines, and of course this is similar in the sense that we see these series of lines out in the desert in a remote location that really can, you can only make sense of it if you get up above it a couple of thousand feet and look back down on it. And in that respect, it's like the Nazca lines. Of course, the Nazca lines are primarily animals and insects. There are some other things, but they're primarily figures of animals and insects, where this is all geometric. But let me ask you this now. You mentioned that this is before you get to the Nazca lines. How close is this to the Nazca lines? And let me give you the next question. Is it close enough that the same culture, the same people who did the Nazca lines, could have reasonably done this?
Well, the distance from where this is to the Nazca lines, probably we have to go over the next mountain range. These deserts are separated by a mountain range. So I'm guessing travel time, it was about 45 minutes, perhaps.
By car?
By car, mm-hmm. Yeah. 45 minutes to an hour, right in there.
So probably a day and a half walking, two days walking.
Oh, I'm sure. In that environment, you'd have trouble walking that far in a day.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have any information, Jerry, about who built this thing? What people are? What civilization built these?
Well, as you were mentioning, the Nazca lines are zoomorphic figures. They have, like a person, like they call it the astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
They have the spider, the hummingbird, and a variety of other images there. Plus a lot, just a whole lot of really long lines that just go for miles, and then they just abruptly end. Or they may go for miles and make a sharp turn and then come back again and then stop. So they have these shapes that don't really make a lot of sense, and no one really understands why they're like that. In some instances, it even looks as though it were a runway, because large areas just been flattened right out. More so on the Palpa side than the Nazca side. The difference between what you see on the Palpa side versus Nazca is that you have more human-looking figures, and you have more abstract shapes like a spiral, but done within a square.
You're talking about on the Palpa side.
What's that?
You're saying on the Palpa side.
On the Palpa side, right.
Okay, on the Palpa side, there are figures of humans?
well, they're human-looking figures.
Mm-hmm.
There's a set of four on the side of a mountain that you see on the Pampa Desert, and then different places you see various interpretations of this same kind of design. It looks like a stick man with a top hat, or just a person's shape with some weird antlers coming off of it. Just really unusual looking shapes.
We
nowhere
right here in the Phoenix area, you know, we have South Mountain. I don't know if you've ever been out there, but those things like what you're describing show up in the petroglyphs out at South Mountain, the same kind of figures.
Sure, and we've seen this in other parts of Arizona, Mexico, and New Mexico as well, even up into Utah. These human-animal hybrid-looking shapes, or these tall shapes that look like, you know, ghosts, perhaps. These are not like that, but they fall into the same category within the realm of how I imagine people would kind of, you know, sort of add an animal feature or some unusual feature to a human shape.
Okay, now we are coming up on a break, so pretty quickly. Is it your opinion that this is a different civilization that did this, different from the ones that did Nazca?
I think so. I think these are much, much older, because in this area, you have mountaintops that are just flattened off like they made huge runways.
All right, Jerry, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, and you want to stick around because there is some really interesting news about this. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Jerry Wills, rather world famous as an explorer, and we're talking about one of his discoveries of an ancient site. And this site is not all that far from the Nazca lines, and yet, Jerry, you think this was done by a different civilization. Why mainly do you think it's a different group of people?
Kevin, I can't hear you.
Why do you think...
I'm listening to you on my monitor here.
Why do you think it's a different civilization?
Well, I think it's a different civilization because the people who made these markings, who made these designs, there was a lot more sophistication in it, and they did a lot more earth-moving in association with the lines than the people in Nazca did. Not to say that the Nazca people didn't make some pretty incredible designs and etchings on the desert floor, but the things we saw in Pampa have a sophistication to them that is unique and unto itself. And the fact that they took off mountaintops and just made like these long, flat plains, it's much different than Nazca. And I can't hear you in my earpiece here.
Okay. Now, Jerry, the...
on the phone.
What do you think the date is for this? When do you believe this was created?
We took a look at how thick the desert patina was, and then we started asking geologists and others who might know to give us an idea. And what they told us was in excess of 10,000 years, and it could even be older than that, given the location for this. We're probably, I'm guessing, about 60 miles from the ocean. So, of course, you have that ocean water moisture in the air, of course, that comes across, and that's what helps create the desert patina, is the moisture in the air. So they took that into consideration and told us that they figured it was in excess of 10,000 years, but they would have to do more detailed study in order to really come up with a more accurate figure.
Well, you know, you mentioned that from ground level, people really would not be able to see what the pattern is, and you can see that there is something, but you really cannot discern what that something is. One of the things that I note, though, is that every few feet, there's like you just follow one of these lines. And then every few feet, there will be a larger stone sticking up. So across the plain, there are
all
these.
Right.
They're not large stones, it doesn't appear, but they are tall enough that they stick up above the surface, and it gives it sort of an appearance of, you know, there are these dots out there.
Well, that's exactly right. what you have here are, of course, these vertical rocks that are standing up. And if you take a look in between the two in this picture you have on the screen here, you have one here just near the bottom right corner, and then another one up towards the center where it looks like two lines intersect. But what you're not seeing here in as much detail are in between, about halfway, you see a pile of rocks on the left and the right side of that line. What you have is a series of two-dimensional pyramids. And these rocks that are piled up, there's an exact number of rocks, and it's always the same in each one of these pyramid centers. And it repeats itself over and over and over throughout the design.
Jerry, it looks like that there are three pyramids there.
Oh, there are...
No, I mean right here in the picture, right in the center. It looks like there are three,
four,
not two.
Well, yeah, there are two right there.
Well, it looks like three.
Dimensional.
Looks like three. One on the left, one on the right, and one sitting almost on the line.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Yes, that's an extrapolation of a much larger pyramid. See, you've got... there, you have a large pyramid on the left, then the line, and then you have a large pyramid on the right. But within each one of those pyramids, it's subdivided into four pyramids.
And how big are those pyramids?
Well, I'm trying to go by memory on this. The pyramid probably is about 12, 15 foot.
And how tall is it?
Well, it's two-dimensional. It's not tall at all. It's a depiction. It's you extrapolate a pyramid just by the design that's laid down flat on the ground.
Oh, I see. I see. All right, now
the pile of rocks that you're looking at there, those piles are actually showing up as the peak of the smaller pyramids inside there. And actually, within the four quadrants where you see it looks like an X, that each one of those X's has its own pyramid peak within it. And then the main part of the X, it has something in the center of it as well, where the lines intersect.
Okay. Now, you came on this show, I believe it was last year that we did the show about this. If it wasn't last year, it was early this year. But you came on the show. We looked at some photographs. We looked at some digital graphics where the points and lines had been graphed out digitally. And we talked about, what is this? What could it be? And you put this up on your website at Expeditions TV, and the link says simply, what is this? And you ask people to respond and to share with you their thoughts about what is this. Did you get any responses other than the one that we're going to talk about that you've, within the past couple of days, gotten? Did you get any other responses?
Well, we had a few. We have had, I would say, about 15 or 20 different folks who have written in, and they had their own ideas. You know, could it be this? Could it be that? One that was really the most telling was from a fellow who is a theoretical mathematician. He wanted us to go back with survey equipment and get exacting measurements and everything, because he noticed the high order of math in this and really started bringing some things to our attention about the mathematics that are contained within this design. We had suspected that it was there, but until we had this fellow, and he's an older gentleman, lives in Greece, he came to us and said, well, now, here you have the quantumization of a circle. It's a mathematical formula, and when it's turned into a visual, this is how it would look, and it overlaid exactly with this design. And here is the mathematical equation for a water molecule, and here's the picture, and it laid exactly over this this design. So that really was the most brilliant study that we had received from anyone. Most folks, you know, I mean, everyone takes a look at it and they come up with their concept of what this might be. But that one was really quite fascinating to receive.
Well, looking at the aerial shot, looking down on it, it looks like a blueprint sketch to me for a hybrid car with one big wheel at the back.
Well, and it does, and the hydrogen generator is just off to the back and right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So maybe these people were, you know, forerunners of the hybrid automobiles, green technology. What do you think? They're tired of walking in the desert.
Yeah, well, you never know. It's certainly a big mystery.
Okay, now, Jerry, if you had to guess before you received this call, if you had to guess what this was all about, what was your best guess?
Well, my best guess was, you know, when we took a look at the way that Kathy extrapolated the design, because she took it in Photoshop, and everywhere there was one of those pointy rocks or a pile of rocks or whatever, she carefully mapped every location in Photoshop. And when we took a look at it, it kind of looked like a star chart to me, or coordinates for something. I really wasn't sure what I was looking at, but my best guess was that it had something to do with hyperdimensional physics. And, you know, I didn't have any way of qualifying that except just my own idea, my own guess, you know.
Well, that's pretty interesting, because as it turns out, the call you got suggests something very similar to that. And I don't want us to get into that until we come back from break. And we've got about a minute and a half here before break, about a minute and 20 seconds before the next break. But and I don't want us to get into it until we come back from that break, because of the fact that it's kind of a mind blower, and I want us to spend time with it. I want us to, you know, not have to cut away and go to a break before we've gotten most of the information out and discussed. But hyperdimensional physics is something Richard Hoagland talks a lot about, and he talks about various hyperdimensional physics features of the various planets, and quite obviously, if that exists on other planets, you would have to assume it exists here as well. But when we're talking about hyperdimensional physics, we're really sort of talking about a gateway from our world into another world, are we not?
Into another world, another dimension.
Another place in time and space. All right, folks, we have to take this break. When we come back, what was the telephone call that sparked the show? We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Jerry Wills, world-renowned explorer and TV producer, and we're talking about this very strange, mysterious site in South America, as a matter of fact, in Peru, and very similar in some respects to the Nazca Lines, but in other respects, very different in that these are all just geometric patterns. Now, we were talking about that they appeared to you to represent something to do with hyperdimensional physics. Interesting thing that, Jerry, the problem you had with being able to hear me, we have not had that problem for weeks now. It started as we were getting close to you saying what we're here to say tonight. And when we got real close to you saying it, the video feed for our KSS TV channel went dead and rebooted. Wow. So I'm not saying that it was caused by anyone, but hello, guys. Thanks for being with us and underscoring the fact that what Jerry's about to tell us is most likely the absolute truth. Thanks for the big yellow highlighter pen across everything Jerry's about to say. We do appreciate it. Okay, now you had asked for comments from people. You've asked for responses from people about, you know, what do you think this thing is? What is this site? And you got responses from around the world. One very intellectual response from a theoretical mathematician. But then, Jerry, you got some interesting communication within the last couple of days.
Yes, I did. It was fascinating. It was an email followed up with a phone call. I won't mention if it's male or female or who the person is, except I will say that it was brilliant. This person mentioned to me in the phone call that they had studied the pattern and that they knew that I was interested in getting feedback, what I thought or what other people thought this thing might be, and asked if I'd considered that perhaps this is a depiction, a two-dimensional depiction of a wormhole, and that the... let me just read it off here. Let me see. Note that the outer square plane with the grid inserts in the corners and would represent a flat one-dimensional plane of space. The inner design shows an outward area that narrows into a smaller center, representing the entrance and tube of the wormhole. And mentioned that they thought that I would appreciate this information, hoping that it would help.
Was this person in was this person someone in a position where this would carry some weight?
Senior engineer for Naval Intelligence.
Naval Intelligence?
I think that's what they said. I'm sorry, no. Senior engineer with Department of the Navy.
Okay. So this is a senior engineer with the Department of the Navy. This person gives you a call, sends you an email first, and then gives you a call, and in this conversation says that as far as this person is concerned, it looks like a depiction of a wormhole.
Exactly.
Well, I think you would have to take that seriously.
Well, I did. It certainly made me sit up and take notice. I was pretty excited to read the email, but then when I got the phone call, that was very telling. You know, of course, and I may be grabbing at straws here, but you know, we're talking about a wormhole, and you know, this looks like a wormhole. If you've not seen a wormhole, how would you know? Or if you weren't familiar with that, how would you know? Now, I just may be grabbing at straws, but it just certainly, it made me sit up and take notice, Kevin.
Well, and in order for it to be a three-dimensional depiction of a wormhole, you would have had to have traveled to the other end of the wormhole.
Right.
So two-dimensional is what you would expect if you're just looking at this side of the wormhole.
Right, because a wormhole from a distance would most likely look two-dimensional. I don't think you'd see much dimensionality to it. In other words, you wouldn't see a sense of depth to it because it'd be bending light, and that would kind of cancel out your depth perception.
Jerry,
we had quite an interesting conversation. It was very revealing, and it certainly opened the door to validate what my feelings were about this.
All right, now did this engineer, did this person give you any sort of scientific explanation? Did this person go into any sort of scientific speak about this?
No. It was a very short conversation. It was kind of like, to paraphrase it or condense it down to what my take on it was, it would be like if you were trying to figure something out and I just called you out of the blue and I said, did you ever think maybe this is a wormhole? It sure looks like one. Nice talking to you. Have a nice day.
Well, that sounds, and I'm, granted, I'm grabbing at straws, I guess, but, you know, that sounds like the kind of thing that would be done when someone has decided, let's put this information out there. And probably knowing that it's going to wind up right here on the Kevin Smith Show, because they do listen to the show. We have tons and tons of government ears listening to the show, and I'm quite glad they are. And this sounds like the sort of thing, let's just drop this out there for Jerry. It'll probably go to the Kevin Smith Show, and people will find out about it. Jerry, that fits with what I have said about disclosure, that it's happening all the time. And, you know,
yeah,
they're not coming out and saying, okay, everybody pay attention to this, get the TV cameras on me, and let me make a point here. They don't do that. But they just drop information out there for us and see, you know, what we do with it. You make a very good point. You make the point that in order for someone to look at that and say, that looks like a wormhole, you would expect it would have to be someone who has seen a wormhole.
Right. And I'm forwarding to you the email that I received so you can take a look at it.
Okay. Now, see, so, Jerry, the other thing that goes with that is here we are with a formation out on the desert that was created at least 10,000 years ago, maybe,
or more,
maybe more, but at least 10,000 years ago. So here are these folks that we think of as being primitive people creating this drawing. And if what this engineer says is correct, and I would have to put a lot of weight in it, if it's correct, then these people knew about wormholes 10,000 years ago, and they apparently knew the physics and the geometry and the calculus that had to go into depicting the thing.
Well, and that's when we looked at this, that's one of the things that we considered, is that, you know, the only person that would make something like this is someone who had a real clear idea of calculus and trigonometry and, you know, the higher math skills, you know, extraordinarily high math skills. I think this thing has the math in it that is at least equal, if not greater, to the Great Pyramid. The Pyramid of Giza. And yet, here it is sitting on a desert. Could it have been, and this is just, you know, my imagination running, of course, but could it have been a scientist, knowing that the world had forever changed, and having this extraordinary knowledge, decided that there's one place on Earth that would be safe? Perhaps he had used a wormhole,
Jerry, we have to step away for break. We'll get the rest of that thought when we come back. Don't forget about the scientist. We'll pick up right there. We'll be back, folks. I told you it was amazing stuff. I could not help myself. I had to laugh at that. The man Gene Simmons would want to be if he could be a talk host. We've got a bunch of those new ones. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, back to serious matters. Welcome to all of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. You'll have to mentally run to catch up because, boy, I'll tell you, we have covered some ground, and there's some really, I think, breaking news here. Jerry, you got an email followed by a telephone call from a senior engineer with the Department of the Navy.
Yes.
The telephone call just sort of says, well, that looks like a wormhole. And here's why. Boom, 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 boom. And then that was it. I said,
yeah.
Well, you said, and then I underscored it, that the only way someone could know that that looks like a wormhole is if they've seen one.
Well, and that's what I got out of it as well. Maybe incorrectly, I don't know, but it was surprising because I had not really considered this to be a depiction of a wormhole, but it was further explained that, well, if you extrapolate into three-dimensional space and you bring this platform here and that platform there and you start extruding this and doing that, then suddenly, yeah, it'll take on the appearance of a wormhole. And I took a look, and sure enough, you know, it certainly did take on that appearance. It was there. I just hadn't looked at it that way before. I wasn't looking for a wormhole. But for someone to call me, and of course I get calls out of the blue, so that isn't the big surprise, but I don't get a call from, you know, a senior engineer of the Department of the Navy every day suggesting that I take a look at it, and maybe that's what it is.
Now, Jerry, after you told me about this, I called someone we're both familiar with, Walter Bosley, and Walter has done a lot of research into ley lines, and I told him what you had to say, and had him go to your website and take a look at those Photoshop plots that Kathy did of this site. And he said, "Oh my God." And I said, "What?" He said, "That is exactly what you're looking at when you start looking at ley lines, intersections of ley lines. You're looking at those kinds of patterns." And here we have a senior engineer with the Department of Navy saying, "That looks like a wormhole." And we put the two together, wormhole, ley lines, portal maybe. How far is this place from the famous doorway?
It's quite a distance. I wouldn't say that it's a long way away, but it's probably a couple hundred miles at least, because we're on the southern coast of Peru, and the doorway is on the southern border of Peru. I haven't really calculated what the distance is, but I would be sure it's a couple of hundred miles.
And this is on a flat plateau?
Well, it isn't really flat, Kevin. It's an irregularly shaped plateau.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of flat, but, you know, it's the surface is not planed. It's not regular. It's quite grooved and irregular.
Okay.
Of course, it doesn't rain there, so there isn't any evidence of gully washers, you know, having etched through the landscape in any of the recent history, in the past several thousand years at least, or at least since this thing was created. But you do see gullies and washes where at one time there must have been water washed across there. But it takes on a two-dimensional aspect when you get high above it. It looks absolutely flat. And the design, even though the design goes down into a gully and comes back up again, and it goes over a little knobby-like hill, and it travels around this way to an edge that has a slight incline to it, when you get up above it, all of its features are perfect. They took into consideration all of these aberrations on the surface and made it absolutely two-dimensional when seen from high above.
Now, Jerry, I believe that when you physically walked onto this plateau, you began to experience strange things happening with your electronic equipment. Is that right?
Well, there were a couple things that happened. There wasn't anything where it caused the electronics equipment to fail, because obviously we got video and we didn't get any dead batteries or any of that. The thing that did happen that I thought was quite unusual was the compasses. I had a compass in my watch, electronic compass. Kathy had two compasses with her and the fellow who was with us, who was an archaeological research assistant, a Peruvian. He had a compass, and all the compasses were just spinning and just acting crazy.
Did that continue the whole time you were there on the plateau?
It only happened when we started walking into that larger square with a circle in it area.
Did you make it all the way to the center of that square?
I got close. I took my shoes off and I was walking in my stocking feet very, very carefully, so as not to leave any footprints. I was following a line that was already exposed, so, you know, I wasn't disturbing the design at all, because it's our policy to be very, very careful with everything that we're investigating. And the closer I got, the more the compass, well, the compasses just didn't work, and the one on my watch, it actually was so burnt out that I had to send the watch and get another one. There was no fixing it.
What do you think was happening there?
Well, I really don't know. It just was kind of, it was very surprising.
Now, putting together what happened that you just now described, with the compasses, put that together. with what the senior engineer with the department, a senior engineer with the Department of the Navy, had to say about this site. Do you think, Jerry, that there is a possibility that this is an actual portal, a stargate, a wormhole, a place where you can access a wormhole? Do you think it is?
It could be. I never got to the center, and I can tell you that I was trying to get a little bit closer in, but I was so disappointed with the compasses, especially the one. I mean, my watch was like $400 to have this stupid compass in it. It was made by Suunto, and they're not cheap. And nothing was working right once I got, you know, a little bit further in. I was not sure if I was feeling dizzy from all the heat or if I was feeling dizzy from something else, but I had to get out of there and get back to the edge, and as soon as I did, I felt a little bit better, and, you know, Kathy and I elected to walk around the perimeter, take as many pictures as we could, as much video as we could, and then head back to our vehicle.
You said a little bit earlier that you thought that as you looked at this thing, it just struck you as being something to do with hyperdimensional physics. And I could be wrong about this because I certainly am not a physicist. But it would seem to me if we are talking about a wormhole, if we are talking about a time and space portal, then we would be talking about hyperdimensional physics, it seems to me.
Yeah, that's my take on it as well.
All right, so...
Incidentally, Kevin, not to interrupt your chain of thought, Kathy just came in and told me that this design is 360 miles to the doorway.
That's interesting, because on a lunar calendar, there are 360 days.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the lunar calendar has 360 days. The solar has 365 days.
Hmm.
And, of course, the lunar calendar was used long before the solar calendar was used.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be something having to do with the lunar calendar, lunar cycle, about being that far away from the doorway. 360 is also what we now say there are 360 degrees in a circle.
Right.
Now, the reason there are 360 degrees in a circle is because we say so. Someone decided to divide a circle into degrees and counted up 360 of them. And so that's something that has, you know, it's there because we humans have said so. If we used a different system, we might say there are 200 degrees in a circle, and the size of it would be different. So, but that's kind of interesting as well. But there are 360 days in a lunar calendar, and that has nothing to do with whether we say so or not. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a line is it on with the doorway?
Well, I'm just looking at that right now. Kathy didn't give me the details on the line, but I'm calculating that as we speak. I need to know what the heading is. Yeah, when you do the line from point A to point B, I need to know what the heading is, 70 degrees.
And let me say for the audience, you may hear a lot of sirens going by. I don't know what's going on, but all hell is breaking loose with sirens and lights on it going past the studio. So if you hear that in the background, that's all I can tell you about it, is there's something going on.
So okay. It's roughly 105 degrees, Kevin.
Okay. So 105 degrees to the south, or, well, it is to the south at roughly 105
degrees.
Southeast. At roughly 105 degrees. Okay. Is there any other mysterious or sacred site that if you shoot an azimuth from there, that it would intersect with that azimuth?
I'm looking to see, because we have a lot of these sites marked on here. I don't really see anything specific. It is very close to being in line with Tiwanaku.
Well, that would be something, I think, interesting to look at, to see if, for instance, if the doorway forms one corner of a triangle,
well,
if this site form, huh?
Here you go. It at that heading, east by southeast, it dead centers right on, goes right across the doorway, and it dead centers right on the island of the moon in Lake Titicaca.
In a straight line.
In a straight line.
So both the doorway and the island of the moon are on the same line?
Yeah. As close as I can tell with what I've got going on here, because I had to zoom out a bit. But the island of the moon, it would, even if I was off by a degree either way, it would still end up right on the island of the moon, either the north or the south edge of it. As I have it right now, it's dead center.
Well, here was my train of thought. We know that the you know where the doorway is, and you know the very strange anomalous things that you have experienced, and people who have been with you have experienced at the doorway. All right, that seems, from everything that I have heard, and by the way, folks, I've talked to Jerry on the air and in person. I've also talked on the air and in person with people who have been to that doorway and who have experienced getting through, going through the doorway. All right, so there's a doorway. That's going to be some type of hyperdimensional portal. All right, let that be one corner of a triangle. Let this site be the peak of the triangle. And somewhere equidistant with from the same distance as you have from this site to the doorway, somewhere on the other side, equidistant, what if that marks another doorway? And what if they are powered by the ley lines emanating from this site?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting observation, Kevin. I think Howard would Howard Bosley be a good person to ask about that.
You mean Walter Bosley?
I'm sorry, Walter Bosley.
Mm-hmm.
I can provide the coordinates for all these places and see what he comes up with.
Well, see, if you have all three working together, does that mean that when they're activated all at the same time, that you do activate a real Stargate?
Well, we'd have to try it and see.
I don't want to be there. I don't want to step through a Stargate.
Believe me, it's a very dizzying experience, Kevin.
Yeah, you described that for us. All right, I'm going to open up the telephone lines, and there are very likely some folks who have a question or a comment. And if you do have a question or a comment, I want you to have the opportunity to ask Jerry. This is brand new information that you're hearing on the show tonight. No one else has heard this until tonight. This is breaking news. It's brand new. Can we say for sure that this is a representation of a wormhole? No. What we can say for sure is that a senior engineer with the Department of the Navy decided to drop that information on Jerry. and perhaps there's a reason. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, toll free 888-223-4599, or if you live outside the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can give us a call, and that number will work, the 623 number, or if you don't want to make the international long distance call, you can send us a flash message by going to my website and clicking the link that says flash message. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, I love those new commercials you've got on. I wonder who made them.
They are nice. Go ahead with your question or comment,
nice
Kevin.
Nice talking again.
Nice talking to you too, Kevin.
Wow. Phenomenal discoveries that you've made. I'd love to join you one of these days down there if I ever get the money to well, I've got to get a passport first. But if I could ever have the money to go down, I'd definitely love to join you on some of these things. I'd love to see a lot of these tunnels. You know, I just finished reading a book by, I think his last name is Trench. I just finished reading. He had a book come out in the 70s called Secret of the Ages. And he talked about a lot of the stuff that's down there in South America. And it's amazing, a lot of the ancient stuff that's there from a civilization long past. Do these things that you found, do they also connect with the ancient tunnel system that you've been investigating for a very long time?
Well, actually, we suspect that they do. The problem is that the tunnel systems are so long, and there are so many of them. Going in and staying for any duration would be impossible as far as we're concerned. I mean, it'd certainly be way risky. But I do know that, for example, under the Nazca Desert and the Palpa Desert, there are these amazing aqueducts that are several feet down carrying water from the mountains, and it goes out across the desert. You don't even know they're there. Unless you know where to look, and when you take a look at, you know, when you find it, then it's quite extraordinary. So yeah, there are tunnel systems all over that region.
Now, Jerry, when you say there are aqueducts, are these natural formations or are these constructed?
Oh no, these are constructed. They're big enough to walk in, or at least crawl through, but they go for, close as we've been able to fit here, for well over 150 miles from the mountains all the way out to the ocean. And they're still carrying water today.
These aqueducts, the materials that they're built with, are these stones of megalithic size also like other ancient structures in South America and also in Mesoamerica?
Yes, they are. And in many instances, the bedrock has actually been grooved as if it were with a plasma router, let's say. But it's absolutely perfectly square grooved in bedrock, and it just goes for miles and miles and miles. On an upcoming episode of Expeditions TV, we just returned from way up in the Andes, where we were following one of these aqueducts through mountains. And they're just amazing. I've never seen anything like it before.
Amazing. I'll definitely be keeping in touch with this.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. You know, one of the things, not every show that we bring you has real leading edge information. Sometimes we're drilling down into information that's already at hand, but trying to get more detail. But sometimes we bring you leading edge information, and folks, this is leading edge. This is something no audience on this planet has heard until tonight. You're the first. Now, Jerry, if this turns out to be exactly what the engineer says, Now, I know you've already gone down to do the, you've been to the doorway, and you've been through the doorway, and I'll let you pronounce it. How do you pronounce it?
Aramumuru.
Aramumuru. All right. Well, I can't guarantee I'll get it straight the second time. We have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jerry Wills, and the telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889 is the number. It will work anywhere in the world. And the toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA, and you live outside of Canada, feel free to send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website and just scroll down. You'll see the link that says flash message, and we call it that because when you send it to me, it begins to flash on my screen over here to my right and warn me or alert me that a message has come in. All right, Jerry, you know, we were talking about the hyperdimensional qualities of this place, but we forgot to do something. Earlier you had said you could picture, you know, a scientist, the last scientist perhaps, and he starts to lay this out. Finish that for us.
Well, it was just, you know, a flight of the imagination, but if a person had this kind of knowledge and they wanted it to remain for centuries, this would be the place to put the pictorial depiction of their formula, because it would be completely left alone and undisturbed for thousands and thousands of years. A perfect place to do it. And we've taken a look, actually Kathy's taken a look, and then she's alerted me, and we've found a few other geoglyphs that no one has ever seen before as well, some real strange things. One of them is a semicircular series of dots on the side of a hill, and within these dots there's a, looks like a ramp that's leading into it, which sounds crazy, but I've got the GPS coordinates that I'd be happy to share. There are some very, very, very strange things on the Pulpa Desert, and whoever put those on there obviously did it with great intention. So to imagine that a scientist at the turn of an age would decide to leave behind for future generations a mathematical equation that may help them, you know, maybe this is the only thing he had that he could do it with. Incidentally, I was just checking my logs on my website.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of hits from Roanoke, Virginia, and Reykjavik, Iceland.
And you're surprised?
Well, yeah. Hello to Iceland. It's nice to have you tapping in.
Yeah, well, you know, we have interesting folks that tap into the show, or you know, that listen to the show, and I'm quite pleased that they do. I'm pretty excited about this because, you know, with what you just said about a scientist, you see, that gives some possibility to Eric von Däniken's theory. And then now many other people have picked up on it. I think he was the first one to popularize a theory of ancient astronauts. Because if this is a sort of graphical representation of quantum physics, this is a very brilliant person or persons who have done this or who did this. If this is, I mean, it just obviously does not look like somebody that was just doodling like we do on a napkin at the restaurant. This looks very, very structured. All right, so I guess what I'm saying is this looks like something that a mind like Tesla might have drawn.
That was my impression as well. There are things encoded into this that are going to require someone with a much more brilliant mind in mathematics than I have. But this certainly has some extraordinary calculations, you know, coded into it. Every aspect of it is saying something, and it's a message, but we're not really sure what the message is. And perhaps, you know, the thing about it being this looks like a wormhole, that's possible. But there's mathematics in here as well, and maybe those mathematics would explain things to us about wormholes. Who knows what it would explain to us about? There's great mysteries with this.
This may actually show us how you open a wormhole. I don't know that it does, but I mean, that may be what's encoded here. And, you know, that may be exactly what has been drawn out. Now, you know, Tesla figured out how to tap into the energy of the Earth. It is a possibility that this shows us how to tap that energy to open the wormhole, or a portal, if you will, into another time, another space, another dimension. So maybe that's encoded into this. Jerry, one of the things that I thought about while I was looking at this aerial shot is that's the sort of thing that it's very similar to the elaborate so-called crop circles that have appeared all over England, very geometrical. It's like a crop circle, but it's a rock circle. You know, it's out there on the rocks. And
yeah, it does. It does have that characteristic.
So if this has all of that kind of high math, and has it, you know, encoded in this graphically is quantum physics. And if this is, in fact, then a representation of a wormhole, coupled with the fact that your compasses just went nuts when you were up close to the center of it, I want to go back to the idea that perhaps this is one of a triad forming a triangle or a pyramid, one of three that, if activated together, opens that wormhole.
Well, possibly so. Or it may be depicting you go into one, you come out the other. Because it's two-dimensional, you don't really see the depth. But if you were to take into consideration a sense of depth, the smaller off to the left there, mm-hmm. being at a much greater distance, it could be a map of sorts telling you, yeah, it's possible to go from here to here quite rapidly.
What if encoded in that, the location of the doorway is there? And the location of the other site is there.
Well, and we've been wondering about that as well. I don't know if I mentioned it to you or not, but we are aware that there's another doorway in Ecuador that we haven't been able to get to, mostly because of financial reasons. But we know there's another doorway in Ecuador. We know there's a doorway here in the United States, at least one, probably several. and I believe that they exist in different parts of the world.
All right. Now, which direction is Ecuador from this site?
It would be north.
North.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably in the order of 1,000 miles or so.
Well, I don't see anything. Which way is north on the picture we're looking at?
Oh, good question. Give me a second and I'll figure it out. Okay, you are looking at this as if you were... Okay, that would be west, east. So you are pretty much on the northeast looking down.
Okay, so we're looking sort of from the direction of Ecuador.
Yeah, actually, you would be.
Okay, as you look from Ecuador towards this, and you look at this photograph, where on this photograph would we place the doorway of Aramuru?
That would be southeast. So that would be almost in a line with that smaller circle with a line running through it. That line would be pointing, in a general sense, towards the doorway of Aramuru.
All right. What about the big circle on the right? What would be in that direction?
Well, if you take a look, the big circle on the right, it's like it's inside of a box.
Mm-hmm.
And the box point, which would be towards the upper right corner of the screen, that's going directly west.
Okay. What's in that direction?
Well, the ocean. That's about it. Well, no, actually, there's a city that was just found in that direction. I don't know that it's directly in a westerly line exactly, but there is a city that was found in that direction, a very large city. It had better than 150,000 people. It was one of those cities that was fed by the underground aqueducts. I don't remember the name of it. The strange thing about this city is that when they found it, it looked as though everyone had just walked away from it. They left their tools, their food, their clothing, everything. There were no bodies, just all of their things just sitting there. And the desert reclaimed it, and now it's being excavated. And this city is, what was it I was told? It seems like I remember being told that it was about 8,000 years before Christ.
So about 10,000 years?
About 10,000 years ago, yeah.
So if the dating of this site is accurate, as you've been told, that it's around 10,000 years old, it would be a contemporary of that city.
Probably so, yeah. That'd be my guess.
I wonder, I'm just wondering out loud, I'm just wondering, when they excavate this city, if they're going to find a doorway.
Well, you know, strangely enough, there is a large central pyramid at this city, and there's not a lot of excavation yet. We were offering a trip earlier this year called Secrets of the Sand, which is the same name as the program at Expeditions TV. We were going to take everyone to this city and, you know, investigate it, because mm-hmm. we wanted to see what we could find there.
I just have a feeling that this site is connected with at least a couple of other very special sites like that. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this.
Solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
And
welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm talking with Jerry Wills, and we are discussing this very, very strange, anomalous construction out on a plateau in the middle of the desert in Peru. Jerry, the song that was playing during the break is kind of humorous. It's I Want My Flying Car. But, you know, this, as well as the Nazca lines, just screams that somebody had flight capability 10,000 years or more ago. Because you can't see the pattern unless you're in the air.
Yeah, exactly right. It's just a really it's just a really strange thing when you consider that none of these really make any sense at all unless you can take a look and see it from high above.
All right. Now, this the next step here is assuming then that, the first step is assuming that this engineer is correct and that this is a depiction of a wormhole. And then assuming that someone had the capability of flight, quite obviously, in order to even design this thing, you would have had to have someone that had, so to speak, the eagle's eye view of the ground.
Exactly.
In order for this to even be constructed. So you put those two things together, and what I'm coming up with, at least what it seems to me, is that for whatever reason, this site was of particular importance to what we call ancient astronauts.
And there is a lot of evidence that there were ancient astronauts. And that's one of the things that Kathy and I have been looking for. You know, the underlying theme to all of our investigations is that 2012 is approaching. There are people who lived through that the last time it happened. They went through their own version of 2012, which was about 27,000 years ago. And we believe that they were in touch with people from other star systems, from other worlds or other dimensions, we don't know. But they left behind a record. They left behind information that allows us to take a look at that information and to extrapolate the details and see how it fits with the world and the times we're living in today. Things like this on the Palpa Desert are just one of thousands of things that are available out there. You just have to go looking for it. Over the course of thousands and thousands of years, the landscape can change. There were no roads. If there were, they're obliterated. And now there are roads, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be near anywhere of where you need to be. And that's why we go into these far-flung remote places looking for these ancient cities. It's interesting for our viewers. It's interesting for your listeners to see and to hear about these things, but we know that there's information that's locked away there, and that information is what we're trying to bring back. We know there were ancient astronauts. We don't know that they were from other star systems or other dimensions, but we know that there were people here who aren't from Earth who left behind pieces of information that, if we can find it, it may be very, very beneficial for us.
All right, so now we've established you've got two scientists. One is a theoretical mathematician. One is a senior engineer with the Department of the Navy who have looked at this and said this is some serious stuff here.
They have, and both of them were very serious when they were saying what they had to say about it. They weren't kidding around. They were, you know, saying, take a look at this. It looks like this to me. What do you think? Or, I've done the math on this as far as I can, and here's what I've come up with.
Yeah, so we've got some serious minds saying this is serious stuff. Jerry, we have a call holding, so let's go to the phone since we're almost out of time. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Mississippi.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I have a question. Hey, Jerry, I have a question. One of these doorways that was supposed to be discovered in the United States, is that by any chance in the Grand Canyon? I had heard not too long ago that had found a special place.
There is a cave that's supposed to be very ancient with some artifacts in it. And Jerry has, as a matter of fact, explored that. We're almost out of time. Jerry, you'll have to tell him real quick what the answer is.
There may be one in the Grand Canyon. We haven't found it.
Okay, there may be one in the Grand Canyon, but we haven't found it. Okay, now, this seems like we got two very serious scientific minds that have looked at this and said this is serious stuff. Here's the question, Jerry. Who can look at this and decipher it?
What's the question again?
Who can look at this and decipher what they're looking at? Who can decode this?
It would be someone who has a background in physics, perhaps Michio Kaku, and someone who has a background in mathematics, like this fellow in Greece that I mentioned. I think they would be the people that could take a look at this and come up with something beyond what we already have.
All right. If, we'll say, Dr. Kaku or somebody else looks at this and deciphers it, what percentage of probability would you assign to we would get to know what it means?
I think that would depend on who you ask for the answer. I think if you were to ask Dr. Kaku, I think you'd get a straight answer from him.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's pretty exciting to me is that just the raw possibility that what we're looking at, what you have brought to us here, may in fact hold the answers to being able to actually explore this galaxy and this universe. It may hold the answers to energy problems for this planet. It may hold the answers to surviving whatever calamities may be coming, and it needs to be deciphered. What I'm excited about as well is that two very serious scientific minds have looked at this and said, that's serious stuff.
Yeah, and it's a thrilling prospect when you consider that if this does have that kind of potential, and it's just been sitting there for thousands of years, we finally reached a point where we can take a look at it and begin to read it in a very elementary way to arrive at our first thoughts of what they knew, the ancients, what they knew, and the first steps of perhaps the beginning of a new era in human existence.
It could really be that important. It really could.
It could.
I thought this was interesting when you were with us the first time. I couldn't say that I went beyond it's interesting, because at that point, no idea what this could be. Just it's weird, it's out there, and it's in a weird place for something like this to be. That's about my take on it the first time around. But when you called with the information about the contact you had from this senior engineer, I heard that, I said, this is important, and we need to take a look at it. Jerry, thanks for being with us. Stay on the line with me for a moment. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Breaking news right here on The Kevin Smith Show. Aren't you glad you were here? I'm glad you were here. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.